And really, one of the things that God's at is stirring our heart so that we're no longer blown around when things don't go our way. Amen. That we're strong and we're steadfast in the midst of it. Amen. So scripture, the sermon this morning is called Then Part 2. We're going to be right in Isaiah 61 again. I was going to planning on moving on, but the Holy Spirit was just stirring my heart this week about this. And we were praying about it Wednesday night a little bit. So, Holy Spirit, we thank you for continuing to bless us in here. The big, as an old preacher I knew used to call it, big church. Lord, thank you for just speaking to our hearts and keeping our hearts tender and soft, for directing my heart and mind, Lord, that I speak what you desire, we don't hear me today, we hear you. Because your voice is what changes things, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah 61, turn there with me if you will. We're just going to be in the first three verses today. We went farther last Sunday, but we're going to be in the first three again and a little bit of recap and then do some digging. Y'all there? The Spirit of the Lord, verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion. Remember we taught that last week, right? It's in there. That word in is not there, right? What's the solution to mourning? Zion, right? The church of the Lord, the mountain of God. Amen. It is funny because I was thinking about where it talks about that in Hebrews, and it talks about you didn't come to this Mount Sinai that was shaking, right? But you've come to this Mount Zion, and I thought about it this week, and it says, because if they refuse the one who spoke from the mountain, right? How much more if they refuse the one who speaks from heaven? Right? If they suffered because they refused the one who's on the mountain, how much more will we if we refuse him who speaks from heaven? Right? He says, for the one on the mountain shook the earth, but now the voice from heaven is shaking both the earth and the heavens, so that everything that can't be shaken will be shaken.
Right.
You know what? I hope I'm wrong, everybody. I'm already off my notes. Just hang on, all right? I hope I'm wrong, but I'm telling you what, if there's not a revival, I mean a real one in America, not one that we can produce, but one that comes from the heavens,
amen,
right? Our country's in trouble.
Yes.
Right? I'm telling you what, man, I believe in being good stewards. I've got money in the bank. I've got money in retirement. All right, but you know what? We are in a situation in our country where that stuff could go away real fast. Can I get in? You know what? And you know, I was thinking as we were starting worship, something I shared about a month ago, and I heard it from another preacher, and he says, you know, God's not good because he does good things for you. He's good because he's good all by himself. God's good because he's good. No matter what he does or doesn't do, he's good. Amen. So when things don't go our way, what's the biggest attack of the devil? Oh, is God really that good? You know, we're going to say, shut up, he's good no matter what happens. I like
amen.
Your t-shirt, brother.
Amen.
I like that. All right. There we go. Can I get an amen, church?
Amen.
Look, be responsible with your money, but understand that there's a possibility that in my lifetime, I hope I'm wrong, man. I prefer this not to happen. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Right? Look at Venezuela, man. There's pictures in Venezuela right now of trash on the streets. And then when the camera zooms in, it's money. Because it's worthless. The economy has completely collapsed in Venezuela. Could you imagine all that money that we save up, we scratch and we struggle so hard that it's worth nothing? Not in America. Yeah. Amen. Listen, the solution to mourning, here's where we got off track a little bit, maybe it was right on track, is Zion.
Yes.
It's not your bank account. It's not your 401k. It's not how much your house is worth. It's not any of that stuff, man. Because that stuff can change in a hurry.
Right.
The solution to my mourning is the mountain of God.
Yes.
Amen.
It's
yes.
God Almighty.
Amen.
Amen. giving them, look at here's what men also do, garland or beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the oil of joy instead of mourning, the mantle of praise or garment of praise instead of a spirit of fainting or heaviness. So, everybody say so.
So,
here's what just has been on my heart all week. So they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Something I said last week, I just want to kind of, it maybe hit somebody a little hard. I want to just cover it real briefly. I said last week, and I just kind of said it again, but that what I said last week is that there should be no mourning in Zion. Right? So some people could be like, oh yeah, but well, you don't know what I'm going through, right? Well, you don't know what I'm going through either.
Right.
So, can I get amen? Right? Whatever you're going through is the worst thing in the world. Can I get amen? It's the worst thing in the world to you. It's, my thing is the worst thing. Your thing is the worst thing. Can I get amen? We got to stop trying to one-up each other on how bad life is.
Right.
Maybe we should start pointing each other, look how good God is,
yeah.
And you're going to get through it, buddy. Right? Come on. So, I said this last week, pretty just straightforward, but the point is, church, is that what should happen, and here's what I'm preaching about today, what should happen is we submit not just to Jesus. It doesn't say here about just Jesus, right? It says he's talking about the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is the solution to these five issues of life, right? The Spirit of God working in my heart. Can I get amen? I said, that's me. You can be saved and still be a mess. You can go to heaven and still be a mess. Can I get amen? Anybody out there got the t-shirt, DVD, right? Look, I lived a long time messed up, saved, going to heaven. I got tired of that.
Come on.
Yeah? So, the thing is we should be bringing people to church that are mourning. We should be bringing people to church that are afflicted. We should be bringing folks to church that are brokenhearted, that are in captivity, that are in prison. We should be bringing broken folks to church. A good, healthy church should have folks in it that are a mess.
Yes.
But there should also be some folks that are oaks of righteousness.
Yes.
That have worked their mess out. That have gotten, you know, a good friend of mine, we say it like this, man. When's the last time you went to the woodshed with the Holy Spirit? Some of you folks with some gray hairs, you pop that one, man, right? Sometimes the Holy Spirit's going to get up in your grill about something. He's gentle, but he means business, man. He's going to say, all right, that's enough of that stuff.
Right.
And he's not going to let you go until you start dealing with it.
Right?
This is the stuff. So we should have folks that are just a mess in church. We should have some folks that are in the middle somewhere. And then we should have some folks that have figured it out. Right? It's not just the pastor's job to help all the messed up people. It's the folks that have let the Holy Spirit work in their heart, have become oaks of righteousness, have become strong in the Lord and the power of his might, are walking in peace that passes understanding, are full of joy that's unspeakable and full of glory, have hope that's overflowing in their heart by the power of the Holy Spirit who can help some folks that need all that stuff. He doesn't say this is just reserved for the preacher.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Is that good?
Yes.
Church. I already said that. I'm going to say it again. Church should have some folks in it that are a little messy.
Yeah.
Right? I got saved in a church. They're good people, all right? But they got their own little mindset and way about thinking about stuff. But really kind of how they never said it, but there was this underlying tone that you should be cleaned up out there and then come to church when you're good.
Yeah.
Backwards. We're supposed to come here with all of our junk and then leave it here and get fixed and go out there. And share that hope with some other folks, right?
Right.
Amen. So back to our passage here, Isaiah prophesies about the coming Messiah and the Spirit that will rest upon him, and exactly what in this life the anointed Messiah is going to bring to mankind. And if we pay attention to this, there does not appear to be what we would consider in American church to be anything miraculous going on. Right? You tell an American Christian, we had a miracle happen in our church yesterday. they're not going to think about somebody that's afflicted getting, like, you see what I'm saying, right? We're going to think, so who jumped out of a wheelchair? Right? It's all this external stuff that we can, so I see that. I saw that, right? Now, we've had it just this year. We've had a little girl got healed of a tumor in her ankle. We've had another one that we're just waiting on a doctor's report. This young man had a tumor in his leg for 15 years, 16, 17 years. Went in, that they took a picture of his leg and his thigh right here, and the doctor said, the tumor's gone. We don't know where it went. We, there's no evidence that there was one. Can I get an answer? It's just not either or, all right? So don't go there. I'm not throwing the baby out with the bathwater, man. It's not like, wow, we don't believe in healing. That is garbage, man. We believe in healing. I've been healed. Some of you have been healed. And we're gonna see more of that stuff. And again, amen. The problem is, church, is that Jesus himself warns us that we can walk in that power and not make it.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
If Jesus warns us that, we should take it pretty serious, I think.
Yes.
Right? What the prophet is talking about here, church, has got nothing to do with the outside of my life. It's got nothing to do with circumstances lining up. It's got nothing to do with jumping out of a wheelchair, healing cancer. It's got nothing to do with that stuff. What Isaiah is talking about is the broken heart that we're afflicted with because of the darkness of the world that's out there.
Right.
Can I get it, man? Right? It's discouragement. It's despair. It's all this junk that just keeps coming at us. It's betrayal. It's all this stuff that the devil's doing out there. And every time you turn around, boom, you just keep getting hit no matter what you do.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
You know, when God is calling Israel out of Egypt, he's talking to Moses in chapter 3 of Exodus. This is what God says. We get so excited. I am that I am, right? We love all that part. But you know what? God, the next verse says, but God furthermore said to Moses, this is what you'll say to the elders of Israel. You'll say that the God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has sent me to you. And this is what you'll say. God speaking, I am indeed concerned about you and what's been done to you in Egypt.
Yes.
Church, I read this years ago. Man, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me as clear as I'm talking to you right now. And he said, son, I'm going to fix what's been done to you. Then I'll fix what's been done through you.
Amen.
Because the reason that we hurt people, hurt people. The reason that we lash out at folks is because we're messed up. The reason we lose our temper is because we're carrying stuff around we're not designed to carry around. The reason we can't forgive people when they treat us bad is because we're broken. I'm just going to lay something else out there. Just hang on, man. If you get offended, please come back next Sunday. It'll be better. This week, I was driving into the office one day, and the Holy Spirit, this is just what he said to me. He said, son, this, please don't receive this as condemnation. This is hope, man, all right? This is the goal. The Spirit of God said to me, son, if you were truly walking in the Spirit, we heard it in prayer this morning, my brother said, let us just not be led by the Spirit, but let's actually live in the Holy Spirit. 24/7, man, right? If the Spirit of God said to me, if you were living in the Spirit of God, right, 24/7, there would be zero divorce in the church.
Yes.
Zero.
Yes.
Zero.
Amen.
The divorce rate in the church in America is as high as it is in the folks that don't know the Lord. And half the church don't even care. Oh, whatever, it didn't work out. Just get divorced and get another one. Like we're trading in a car or something.
Come on.
Man. Church, look at it. If, do you hear, and this ain't me pointing fingers, it convicted me. I said, oh Lord, help me, right? If we were truly walking in the Spirit, obedient to God, our kids would be good, our finances would be good, everything that we put our hands to would be good.
Right.
Right? Circumstances might still be a little rough.
Right.
But we're going to be walking in this amazing place of favor from the Lord. Can I get amen? See, the reason that marriage is tough, can I get amen from anybody?
Yes.
Mine's not. I'm just saying it. I've heard it. Right? Brownie points right there. My wife is in the room. So, yes. So, can I get amen? But look at it. Because marriage is ordained by God, right? God designed it. So it's you want to get some stuff worked out, get married.
That's right.
Man, you get some stuff worked out in your life then. Everybody's like, I want to get married. I'm like, you better slow down, bro. You ain't ready. Can I get in there? But let me, you can take that concept. I know it sounds kind of like, boom, harsh. But I'm going to show you something in this passage in just a moment that's going to be, it hit me pretty hard. Can I get in? Look, if, as I said last Sunday, church, we should be so radically different than what's going on out there. And again, it's not, I got, the church, I got saved, then it was like, well, if you're Christian, you don't watch rated R movies, you never go, you never drink, you wear pants all the time, you know, you can't have long hair if you're a guy, can't have short hair if you're a girl, can't even have facial hair if you're a guy that used to preach. So, like, pretty much all of us are going right to hell. Man, right? Whatever, good folks, man. But they're hung up in a bunch of stuff that's not even in the Bible. Can I get anywhere? Yeah. We got to start getting, what does the Bible actually say that we're supposed to look like? And to me, what's going to make me different than who's out there who doesn't know Jesus is hope. Yes. I mean, real hope. Joy. Real joy. Peace. Real peace, man. Wisdom. Right? Wisdom from God. Can I tell you, church, I've had stuff bricked at my house. I used to have these real old jet skis one time. They broke down and wouldn't start. I'm not a mechanic, all right? I am not. I could take stuff apart, then I'm like, uh-oh. I put it all back together, and I got extra parts left over. I'm like, oh, man, I hope it works, right? But this one jet ski, literally, church, I'm standing there looking at these jet skis. I have two of the same one, right? And I'm looking at these things, and I'm going, I have no idea why this thing won't work. And literally, this thought pops into my head out of nowhere and says, take this apart and do this and do this and do that and it'll work. I was like, okay. So I just started taking screws out and I literally had to get to the computer of this thing way down inside the engine. Like, I take the computer out and I swapped it. I'm just trying to hook up the right wires when I plug. I should have taken a picture of it when it was still together. That would have been smarter, right? So now I've got two of them taken apart. I have no idea how it's supposed to go together. I put it all back together and I hit the start. The thing started right up and right perfect.
Hallelujah.
Right? But why? Because you know what? Because if it was my son asking me how to do it and I knew how to do it, I'd be like, bro, just do it like this. So if I'm his son and he knows how to do everything, why wouldn't he tell me how to fix stuff in my life?
Amen.
We gotta understand God's love is not just a feeling when we sing that special song on Sunday. He's intricately and intimately involved in every step of our life every day. Is that good? All five of these conditions are conditions of the heart. Afflicted, brokenhearted, captivity, prisoner, mourning. Can I get amen, church? Yeah. It's inner man stuff, right? Yeah?
Yeah.
If we think about Ephesians 4, which you get fivefold ministry there, and then you wrote down a couple of verses, it says, so then what? Here's what fivefold is supposed to produce. So that we're no longer children. The Greek word is immature, tossed here and there by wind and waves of doctrine,
right?
But then we're strong, we become mature, we become partakers of the full measure of the stature of Christ, so that the church will build itself in love. There's the goal, right? Oh, the pastor is supposed to build the church? No, the church is supposed to build the church.
Yes, amen.
Right? And it's all about submitting to the inner working of the Holy Spirit, right?
Yes.
If we'll submit and listen to the Spirit of God, He'll direct us to do all these things. Amen?
Amen.
This is tough. I'm just going to say how it's written here. I'm not going to improvise this part at all. It is literally impossible to be truly surrendered to the Holy Spirit and stay in a place of inner brokenness. Now, there might be a season to get healed. Can I get amen?
Right.
Said last week, you can't cast a broken heart onto somebody.
Right.
Cast a demon out, boom, gotta go. Right? broken hearts take time. Jesus, the prophet does not say, I'm going to cast the broken heart out. He says, I'm going to bind up the broken heart.
Right.
I'm going to, it's a picture of bandaging you up. I'm going to care for you. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to protect you until you get strong.
Amen.
Right? It's kind of like you see folks that get wild animals, you know, an eagle breaks its a wing or whatever. They'll care for it and eventually to do what? Not so it's a pet, so it can be set free.
Yes. Amen.
Right? There's what God's saying. I want to heal you up so you can get set free. Be who you're supposed to be.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit will do digging. He'll take you down a few pegs if you need to be. Amen. Does that feel good? He'll bring some stuff to light that doesn't feel too good. It's ugly. But he's the ultimate surgeon.
Yes.
He's doing surgery on your soul.
Yes.
When the Holy Spirit does something in your heart, it's done.
Yeah. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Look, church, I can't go back if I wanted to. I could backslide, but there's stuff I just can't go back. I burned the bridge, man.
Yeah.
I know too much now.
Yeah, right?
Can I get in there? Anybody ever try doing old stuff and you're just like, what the beep am I doing? Man, it's not even fun anymore.
Come on.
This used to be fun, and then you're doing it and you're like, I'm trying to laugh and I'm trying to enjoy it, but you just can't anymore, right?
Yeah.
Because the Holy Spirit has shifted something inside of you.
Yes.
Praise God.
Yes.
So good. So Isaiah is saying that in the end of verse 3, that they or we will no longer be called afflicted, brokenhearted, captives, prisoners, and mourners, but now we'll be called oaks of righteousness.
Amen.
So here's where it gets interesting. Ready? Look, here's my teacher side coming out. The Hebrew word for righteousness is Tzedek, T-S-E-D-E-Q. And it translates a lot of different ways, but we're going to look at kind of two of them this morning that are, one's pretty straightforward, the other one was very surprising to me when I looked it up. So one way, basically, that righteousness is translated here from this Hebrew word is what is right, right? So oaks of what is right. The word also translates accurate, what is correct, what is honest. Amen, church? You see it? Right, so oaks of accuracy, oaks of what is correct, right? So what Isaiah is saying to us is that God has clear standards for what is right and what is wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Say that, most churches in America today. You ain't gonna get very many amens on that one. Can I get it? Right? Everything's wishy-washy now. Everything's gray. Oh, geez, what, you know, it doesn't matter what you talk about. You can talk about anything. And there's a million different views. Well, I think that scripture really means this, brother. Well, bro, it's 95% of the Bible is pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
You get some of the weird stuff in Revelation. You get some weird stuff in Ezekiel, the wheels inside the wheels stuff. Get a little weird there. Right? But pretty much most of the Bible's like, look, if you're a husband, here's how you're supposed to be. If you're a wife, here's how you're supposed to be. If you're a kid, here's how you're supposed to be. If you got some money, here's what you're supposed to do with it. If you, right? If someone offends you, here's how you handle it. If you got a leader in your life, here's how you submit to them.
Come on.
You don't have to interpret that stuff. It's black and white, man. We just got to do it.
Right.
Can I get in there? We got the church today is full of hearers of the word. We've got very few doers of it.
Uh-huh.
You know, because it's like, it's funny. If you think about, I forget if this is Jesus or Paul, when he says that, is it Jews seek for a sign and Greeks seek for wisdom?
Yeah.
Right? Is that what it is? The Lord brought that to me a couple months ago, and he says, you know what? We've got a culture full of Jews and Greeks again. We got some folks that are chasing signs and wonders all over the place. Oh, show me a sign. You know what Jesus says to those people? No sign will be given to that generation except the sign of Noah, or the sign of Jonah, right? 3 days will the Son of Man be in the belly of the earth, and in 3 days he'll rise. There's the sign of Jonah, right? If you're seeking after signs, if you're running after signs and wonders in the church, he says you won't see nothing except the resurrection of the Son of God. And until you believe in that one and accept that one, you're not getting any other ones. Jesus himself said that.
Amen.
But then the Greeks are seeking wisdom. You know what the Greeks want to do? They want to debate everything. Let's talk about that. Does that really mean that? Yes. Does it really mean I got to bring all the tithes, or can I just bring some of them? Bro.
Amen.
Wow. We got no amens on that one. Praise God. That's awesome. What? Look at church. So here's the deal, man. God is perfectly clear on sexuality. He's perfectly clear on how it feels about marriage.
Yeah.
He's perfectly clear on how it feels about children and how we should handle our children
yeah.
as parents. He's perfectly clear how children should behave
yeah.
towards their parents. Even when you get grown up, all you grown up children, you don't get to be crazy just because you're grown up and think you got it all figured out.
Come on.
That was for more people than were sitting in this room this morning. It doesn't say I'm your father and your mother until you turn 30 and then you can do whatever you want. Said you honor him, period.
Right.
First commandment with promise. And it will go well with you and you'll live long upon the earth.
Amen.
Sounds good to me. I mean, who doesn't want to live long upon the earth? I don't know. Who wants it to go poorly with you? Right? I don't know. I reach stuff like that and I flip it on its head. So if I disrespect my mother and father, it will not go well with me and I will not live long on the earth. Right? That's what it says to me. Can I get
amen?
So all these promises we see from God, all these, there's so many promises, but dozens of them that are attached to my choice. I'm going to choose to do what God says, and I access that promise. Right? Well, Father, all the promises are yes in Christ. Yes, yes in Christ, meaning you can access all of them through obedience.
Yeah.
If I'm going to be disobedient, I get nothing.
Yes.
Right?
I get nothing. There's one preacher on Caleb. I'm surprised that this guy's making this message on Caleb because it's a little bit, Caleb is just, it's always encouraging. And bless them. It's great. Got to get amen. Not being critical. But this one guy says, you know that the Bible is very clear that salvation comes only through faith, right? You get to heaven only by faith in Christ, right? No man comes to the Father but through me. But he says the Bible's also very clear that what we receive as rewards in heaven are based directly on our choices after we get saved.
Yeah.
I said, boy, you don't hear a lot of that stuff on Caleb. Yes, praise God. Right? That's good, man. You don't hear that church anymore. You know, I'll just get saved and you're going to get everything from God. No, you won't. Because you know what? I am nowhere near as smart as God, and I don't give my kids whatever they want just because they're my kids.
Right.
They're going to earn some stuff.
That's right.
People that know my kids are like, your kids are great. And I'm like, you want to borrow them? Because they're great, you know, 55% of the time. No, there's way more than that. There's way more. My kids are great. But come on, they're kids, man. Sometimes you got to knock their heads together. In the spirit. Yeah. I'm about to lay hands on you. See, we look at the church today, right? Big C church, right? Church. Not any particular church, right? Christianity in America, Western culture. We cannot figure out what we believe. We have churches within the same denominations, which, by the way, are all man-made.
Yep.
Right.
There's no denominations in the Bible, everybody.
Right.
Not even Catholic.
Right.
I love Catholic folks, but that ain't in the Bible either.
That's right.
That's all man-made, which is why it's such a train wreck.
Yep.
All of them.
Mm-hmm.
Including, you know, people used to say, so is your church non-denominational? No, we're not, because that's become a denomination all by itself, right? Come on, church.
Yeah.
People say, well, what kind of church are you? We just believe the Bible. We worship Jesus. We're going after the power of God, man.
Yeah.
That's what kind of church we're in. If you want to go after Jesus, come to our church.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right? I don't get caught up on all the politics about this denomination and that one or whatever else. Can I get amen? But look, you got churches within denominations can't figure out what they believe.
Yeah.
Can I get amen? I saw some recently that Hillsong, and bless Hillsong, and awesome ministry. Hillsong has made their own denomination. I'm a Hillsong Christian.
What?
What kind of Christian are you? I'm a Hillsonger. What do you even call that? I don't even know. What? I mean, if you're going to a Baptist church, you're Baptist, right? So if you're a Hillsong denomination, what are you? I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Right? Why? Why can't we just say, look, we love Jesus, we're Christians, we're following Jesus, man.
Amen.
I don't even answer folks anymore, so what kind of denomination are you? I gotta go. We're off the rails before that conversation even starts, man. Come on. I'm not just talking about big stuff either, church, like homosexuality, gay marriage, abortion, and all that stuff. I'm talking about basic doctrine, giving, prayer, prophecy, speaking in tongues, oh my goodness gracious. You know what? There's only like three verses that talk about speaking in tongues, but you know one of them is? Paul says, he who speaks in tongues strengthens himself.
Yes.
I don't want tongues, Pastor, so you want to be a wimp, is what you're telling me. Look, if I said, take this pill and you're going to be strong, you'd be like, sign me up, bro. So the Bible says that he who speaks in tongues strengthens himself.
Right.
Who doesn't want to be strong?
Right.
Come on.
My wife told me that one of our church members has said that before I started working out, I would talk about how large my belly was. And now that I've been working out, I'm talking about how small my belly is becoming. So I'm not going to talk about being stronger now, other than what I just said. Strong in the Lord, man, right? Yes. And the power of his might, man. Yes. Come on.
Yes.
Look at but the Bible does say that bodily exercise benefits a little bit.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right? Yes. I'm experiencing a little bit of benefit. Jesus' name. Yes. Yeah. But you know, church, come on, man. God gave me this temple. We need to take better care of it.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You know, the sin we don't talk about church anymore, especially as Americans, is gluttony. Eating too much food, bro. Right? Gotta slim it down, man. Get in shape. Take care of this thing. I only get one.
Right.
Can I get an amen?
Yeah.
So, the church, look at church in America, we can't figure out giving. We can't figure, there's about 50 different teachings on giving up there, for crying out loud. How do you read the Bible and get 50 different teachings on giving? What? Prayer. Should we pray loud? Should we pray soft? Do we pray sitting down? Do we pray standing up? Do we lie on the floor? Do we lie on our back? Do we lie on our stomach? Can we stand on our head and pray? How long should we pray? How often should we pray? Oh my goodness gracious, we should pray for 1 hour a day, brother. Oh my goodness, man, look it. Can we just pray? How about that?
Amen.
Why do we have to have 6 weeks of arguments about how to pray instead of just praying?
Come on.
Because, you know, God lives in my heart. And if my heart is turning to the Lord and seeking the Lord with, as I said in worship, all my heart in Jeremiah, he says, you seek for me with all of your heart and you'll find me. That's what prayer is. Turning my heart to God and crying out to him and saying, Abba, 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 I'm coming to you.
Yeah.
Now, you know, church, I've had prayers that not a word came out of my mouth. And my life changed. Right? Prayer is just talking to God, man, and listening to what he says.
Right.
Right? Prophecy, speaking in tongues, laying hands on people, worship. Oh, worship for crying out loud. We need a rock and roll band, right? Oh, for crying out loud. Man, look at, there's folks in Africa that got sticks and cans, man, all right? And they worship, folks get healed.
Yes. Amen. Oh.
Amen.
Come on. Yes. You know, we're like, oh, we got the new QSC 1000 watt subs, bro. We're really going to feel the Holy Spirit now. No, you're just feeling bass frequency, man. That's not the Holy Spirit, right? Can I get in there? And look, I'm cool. I like this stuff, man. But I think we just need to make sure we're prioritizing it right. God is not impressed with this building. He's impressed with chairs. He's not impressed with paint. He's not impressed with TVs. He's not impressed with smoke machines. He's not impressed with 6,000 watts of screaming sound on front of house speakers, man.
Come on.
It's not unimpressive to God either. If what's coming through is pure, That's what matters.
Yes.
If it's genuine, then God's attracted to genuine worship.
Amen.
Right? If it's a pipe organ, we're singing hymns from 1723. It's all good if we're going after God with it. We got all kinds of teaching on authority. Praise God. Man, you want to get in a fight with Christians? Talk about authority. Submission. Everybody say submission.
Submission.
Marriage. Kids, the list goes on and on and on, right? You, look at, what's one of the warnings about end times in the Bible? That people will heap up for themselves teachers that tell them what they want to hear.
Right.
Yeah, the Lord said to me years ago, I think I said it here in the church one time, but I said, you know what? When people say, I want to find a church that I feel comfortable in, you should run from churches you feel comfortable in. Because chances are, if you feel comfortable in the church, it's because they're not pushing you hard enough.
That's right.
I don't feel comfortable most times when I read my Bible because I'm looking for something to change me.
Yeah. Right.
Can I get amen?
Yeah.
Right? Come on. Well, I really love this church. I just fit right in. Whoa. Probably because they're not telling you need to change more. Praise God. We will be the ones, as we submit to the Spirit of God, right? We will be the ones that are oaks of righteousness. Can I get amen?
Amen.
If we allow him to dig, he will dig out all the baggage, all the fear, all the anxiety, every time we've been betrayed, every mistake we've made, every sin, every disappointment, all of the times we've been rebellious, he's going to dig it all out so that we'll become these oaks of righteousness. We'll be rooted and grounded in him. We'll be stable. We'll be strong in the Lord, right? We will be the ones who will fearlessly and boldly and, everybody say lovingly.
Lovingly
stand up for the truth of the gospel. We're not going to water it down. We're not going to twist it around. We're not going to skip over stuff to make it easier to hear. We will stand squarely on exactly what the Bible says and watch God move in it. Right? My Bible says that God backs up the gospel with confirming signs and wonders.
Right.
So if there's nothing, if there's no power behind what's coming over the pulpit, you should probably check what's coming out of the pulpit.
Come on.
Right? Can I get anything?
Yes.
If there's no change in the church, if there's no change in people's lives, if there's years and years and years of preaching and nothing's changing, we should probably say, man, I'm not sure what's coming across is working out so good. I could be getting myself in trouble right now. Can I get anything? Look, it says that if the gospel's coming forth, if the real truth of God's coming, it's going to produce something.
Right.
Right? There's going to be change. There's going to be fruit.
Yes.
Right?
Amen.
So that makes sense to everybody, right? Oaks of righteousness, right? What is right? Amen? Here's the second way we're going to look at for a few moments. This was just mind-blowing to me. This same word, tzedek, if I'm pronouncing it properly, translates in this context as communal loyalty. Communal loyalty. I was like, man, that's crazy. Why would that word that is translated as, you know, right, accurate, communal loyalty is one of the ways that same word is brought. So if you think about it for a moment, communal loyalty, I think we understand it, is loyalty to a community, right? Loyalty to a group of people. So what God is saying through the prophet is that he's going to talk to these five groups of folks, right? Afflicted, brokenhearted, captives, prisoners, and mourning. And he says that as the Spirit of God comes on, comes into your heart and starts working that stuff out, the result is that so they will be called oaks of righteousness, or oaks of what is right, or oaks of communal loyalty, right? God's saying this, what I want to build, and I can prove this in the New Testament, we don't have time this morning, but God's saying, I'm trying to build a community here. Jesus says the world will know that you're my disciples by your love for one another. Right? I've seen some preaching on these guys have done a whole series on one another's, right? There's dozens of them in the New Testament, one another's. And all over the New Testament talks about how we're treating each other. Do this for one another. Do this for one another. Do this for one another, right? This community. So, church, if we see this, if that's the picture that God is giving us in the new covenant, is this community of believers who do not think of themselves more highly than they should, but rather prefer their brothers and sisters above themselves.
Right.
Jesus.
My goodness, if we could just get that one thing. I prefer you above me.
Come on. It's the word.
There's one. Just one another right there. I am more concerned about your well-being than mine.
Yes.
Amen. This is what that word in Hebrew is talking about.
Yes.
A communal loyalty.
Yes.
Oaks of community loyalty. God said, the Spirit of God is going to work these five things out of each one of your hearts. Because you know what, church? If I come into a community and I'm afflicted and I'm choosing to stay in that afflicted state, you know what I'm going to do in that community? I'm going to suck the life out of it rather than contribute life to it. If I come into that community, I can come in brokenhearted, but if I choose to stay that way, I become a leech and all I'm doing is taking from that community rather than contributing to it. Now there's going to be times when I need to take something. There's going to be times when I'm going to be hurting. I'm going to have some trouble at home. I'm going to have a sick kid. I'm going to have a financial problem. And I should be able to take from that community, but it should be for a season. Can I get amen? Because if I continue to draw money out of my bank account without put any money in it, it's going to dry up.
Right. Amen.
Well, Pastor, the Holy Spirit is who provides for that church. Yes, through you.
Come on. Amen.
Through you.
Yes.
Can I get
it?
I was at Wellspring several years ago. The pastor's thing over there in the during worship. These couple of pastors that I know a little bit, they get up and one of the guys prophesying. He's a powerful guy over in Waterbury. And he's prophesying about this river of God. And he says, the river of God is coming. Get ready, Connecticut. Get ready. Get your houses in order, says the Lord, because the river of God is coming. There's a fresh river, and it's going to blaze its own trail. And it's going to... And he's prophesying. And it's good. This river of God is like, man, this is awesome. And he stopped speaking, right? And I was just too scared because I was new there. I didn't know anybody. I wasn't going to say nothing. But he stopped speaking, and it was like the Holy Spirit kept talking to me. He stopped, and that was it. But I knew, I was driving home, and I knew the Lord was like, I was talking to you. You should have kept going. Because this is what he said to me. As soon as this pastor stopped speaking, the Holy Spirit said to me, yes, indeed, son. My river is coming, and it is coming, says the Lord. And the river is you. You are the river. Did I not say in my word that out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water? And when your river gets flowing right, and your river gets flowing right, and your river gets flowing right, all these rivers will come together and make a mighty torrent, says the Lord.
Yes!
Yes!
That's pretty good, man.
That was awesome.
As I'm sitting there, the Holy Spirit says to me, the Mississippi is not the Mississippi way up north. The Mississippi that we always talk about becomes the Mississippi because all these other small rivers flow into it.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
So what's the devil trying to do in the church? Bring division between all these rivers. Right? He's trying to get us to, what's wrong with that burger? Nothing. There's something wrong with you, bro. Can I get it? Right?
Come on.
If we would understand that there is power in unity that will never exist without unity. It will not exist. Now, you could be anointed all day long, bro, but you have one. We'll put 1,000 to flight, and 2 put 10,000 to flight. Now, I don't know, if I was one, I'd say, look, I put 1,000 to flight, man. You guys ever seen the movie Brave, when all the clans come in and they're presenting their sons? Come on, who's not seen Brave, man? What's wrong with y'all? That Disney movie with the girl with the red hair, you know what I'm talking about? You know? That's Everly's new movie. Daddy, can we watch Beef? We've watched Brave about 100 times in the last 3 weeks, right? So, this is my only son. I've come to present him as a suitor. With his own hand and his mighty sword drawn, he scuttled the 50 long ships of the Vikings. I present to you my son. Well, I present to you my son, and with his own hand, he scuttled 100 long ships. Could you imagine a church like that? I'd be like, look, man, I took down 1,000 bad guys in the spirit. And God's like, this guy's like, I took down 1,000. And this guy's like, well, I took down 1,000. God's like, if you guys would get your act together, you'd have taken down 100,000 between the three of you.
Amen.
Because if one's 1,000, two's 10,000, three's 100,000, if you do the math in your head real quick. Right? Can I get amen?
Right.
Right? It's not about individualistic. It's about community. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? This is the word in the Hebrew. God says, if you will allow the Spirit of God to deal with your afflictions, your brokenhearted stuff, your captivity, your prisons, your mourning, he says, then you will be prepared to become not just one oak by myself of righteousness, but oaks of righteousness, right? A forest of trees that got their act together, that are healthy and strong, and that are ready to go after the Lord. Because you know what verse 4 says? Then. Everybody say then. Well, what's going to happen before then? You got to become an oak of righteousness first, man. Then you'll rebuild what's been broken down. Then you repair the ruin. Then you'll rebuild the cities. Then you'll fix the desolations of many generations. See, we all, let's fix this, let's deal with this family problem. God says, no, I'm trying to fix your heart first.
Yeah.
Let's fix this situation that's been going on for decades, and let's fix this and rebuild this. God says, I'm working on this.
Yeah. Come on.
I can try to fix this out here, but God says, I'm trying to fix this.
Right.
Right? Is this all right?
Yes, amen.
Here's what the word loyal means, just from the dictionary. Really simple. Faithfulness to commitments or obligations.
Yeah, Jesus.
Sure. I'm not going to preach nothing about that. I'm just going to let that one settle for a moment. Faithfulness to commitments or obligations. I'm sorry, I am going to say something about it. Praise God.
Come on.
I'm going to toot my own horn for just a moment, all right? So nobody can get mad about this. I'm going to toot my own horn, man. All right? We have lots of folks today in Christianity say, well, Pastor, I'm faithful to God. I just go wherever God tells me to go. Okay. But how can you be communally loyal if you ain't part of a community?
Come on. Right?
One preacher does a whole series on is church membership biblical? Anybody ever wonder about that? I have, for sure. There's no scripture that says thou shalt be a member of this such and such a church. Can I get an amen?
Right.
But here's how this preacher preaches it. He says, yes, there is no scripture that says you need to be a member of XYZ church. There's nothing in the letter to the Ephesians says you guys need to be members of the Ephesians church. But I think what's going on is Paul's making an assumption that that's what's going on. Can I get amen?
Right.
Right? Paul doesn't tell us not to drink Drano either. He's just saying you probably should figure that out on your own. Don't drink that stuff.
Right.
Because it'll make you sick. Can I get amen?
Yeah.
So this is what this preacher says. If church membership is not a biblical concept, then who do you submit to? Because the Bible tells us to submit to those who are in authority over you as those who watch over your souls and will give an account for you. Let them, meaning those in authority, give their account of you with joy and not sorrow, or else it won't go well with you.
Right.
the ones that the people in authority are giving accounts for. Can I get amen? That's just one. There's just one verse about authority. So if there is no church membership, there is no leadership, if there is no government, if I can just float around wherever the Spirit takes me, I'm not sure which Spirit it is, probably small, that's not a big one. Can I get amen? Right? Then how, who is my authority? Who's going to give an account for me? Can I get amen, church? Right? So we think about this. If to be loyal means to be faithful to obligations and commitments. Can I get amen? So toot my own horn just for a moment, right? People say, well, pastor, I'm just faithful to God. If you can't find a person to be faithful to and make a commitment to and keep that commitment, then you're not as faithful to God as you think you are. Oh, that came out of my blood. I'm sorry. I'm not, but I kind of am a little bit. Can I get amen, church? Look, because the Bible says if I can't love my brother who I can see, how can I love God who I can't see, right? If I can't make a commitment to somebody and keep that commitment, that's the test from God, is how loyal can I be? How trustworthy am I?
Right, amen. Amen.
If you've ever tried running anything, don't even have to be in church. Anybody run anything at your job where you got to try to get people to show up and do something? Just one person? Anybody own a business, try to get employees to show up? You're even paying them and they won't show up.
Come on.
Right? Man, so imagine a church where you're not paying anybody. You're all volunteer.
Right?
Look, this is what this word says, church. Do you see what I'm saying? God is looking for communal loyalty. Amen?
Amen.
Let's stand up. Oh, look at that. Right on time. Didn't even try. I'm just going to read this last two paragraphs in closing here. I do want to pray with some folks. I know some new folks, and we had some ministry time last Sunday. I want to do it again. It's something I said this morning. It's pricked your heart, right? If you feel, I mean, honestly, if you just feel like, I just don't feel strong, right? I don't feel like, you know, stable. Can I get amen? Like, just come on up. We want to pray with you, agree with you, that the Spirit of God is going to move strongly in your heart. Amen? So, what I want to wrap up with you, church, today is just to see. I want to encourage you guys to read this when you get home. Read this during the week. Isaiah 61, 1 through, like, 8 or 9. And look at the progression. There's a progression there that I've seen, I saw pretty clear this week. Right? God says, the Spirit of God's coming. We're going to deal with these five heart issues. The result of dealing with those five things is you become this oak of righteousness, this oak of what's right, this oak of communal loyalty, this oak of community, right? And from that place, now we can rebuild. Right? The heart of the community is what's got to be strong before we can start actually rebuilding the community.
Right. Come on.
Right? I've got to be committed to my brothers and sisters. I'm with you, man. I don't care what goes on in your life. I got your back. I will stand with you. I don't care what you do. That's loyalty. Right? I don't care how much of a mess you make. I tell my kids all the time, I got four girls. They get older. You know what? Just because they're pastor's kid don't mean they're immune to doing dumb stuff. Right? I told my girls, I don't care what you do. You come home, you're going to get your dad, and he's going to love you. All
right,
now whatever mess you got, we'll clean it up, figure it out. All right, but I'm your dad, and that's number one.
Right?
You're my little girl. I don't care what you do. And then, church, and that's the kind of commitment we got to have for one another. I don't care what you did wrong, man. If you're willing to admit it, we can work with that.
Right.
Yeah. We see the Spirit of God move. So, Father, we thank you right now. In Jesus' name, Lord, we are asking you, Father, that you would dig deep, Lord. Any of us here this morning that are still wrestling with afflictions from our past, from being brokenhearted, being betrayed, being abandoned, all that stuff that comes with brokenhearted folks, Lord. Those of us that feel like we're captive to something, we're in prison, we're mourning, Holy Spirit, we're asking you to go digging. Go digging, Lord. we're done living there. I don't want to live there anymore. I don't want to watch folks live there anymore. We want to get free, God. We want to be strong in the Lord and in the power of your might, Father. We want to be oaks of righteousness, Father. We want to be equipped and strong and prepared for the next wave of broken folks that come here, Lord. That if we're all strong, we're all anointed by the Holy Spirit, we're all prepared to help those people get out of that place, get out of the gutter, and get their life reestablished and rebuilt.
Yes.
So Holy Ghost, we thank you that you don't leave us alone, that you keep digging. So we surrender our hearts. We were singing about it this morning. What can we say? What can we do? But offer our hearts, oh God, completely to you. Fix whatever is broken, Lord, that we would be strong. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Have an awesome, awesome week. Again, if you need any ministry time, come on up. We will pray with you and bless you.